Amen. Thank you, Ms. Clark, very much. We have a great honor today. We've got Pastor Stephen Carter. Now, you may be wondering, was he just passing through? No, you don't pass through anywhere when you live in West Virginia, do you? You just kind of, amen. He came on purpose, and we're thankful that he did. And I tried to think of Pastor Carter and his wife, who their favorite preacher would be. And I tried to call him and get him here, and he's here today. You preach to us, my brother. Amen.
All right, appreciate the invitation from Pastor Parsons, and I kind of feel sorry for my parents. I kind of have to be their favorite preacher, don't I? I mean, that's kind of how that works. So the rest of you get to choose, so you're the lucky ones. But Romans 16 is where we'll go together this morning. Romans chapter number 16, the last few verses we'll start reading here in a moment, and verse number 24. And again, thank you to Pastor Parsons, not only for the invitation for me and my two oldest are here together this morning, but also to honor my parents. And we're starting to talk about some serious numbers here. Come on now. I mean, 87, that's pretty serious. So, yeah, I'm glad we're having a party. Okay, so 65 is not too far behind there, but I'm thankful to be able to be here and to be together with you this morning. Romans chapter 16, I'd like to start reading in verse number 24. There is another passage I would like to take the time to refer to this morning in the Old Testament, and that would be 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 30. So if you want to do the thing where you go back and forth with me, I'm going to throw that out there for you. If you don't, I'll read it to you. It's a short verse. And try to give you the sense and the understanding of it. Romans chapter 16, verse number 24, the Bible says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now," in verse 26, "is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Back to verse 25 real quick, just to grab a thought from the first part of that verse. "Now to him that is of power to establish you." So I'd like to preach about being established today according to the Word of God. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have your preserved words for us, that we can open it up, that we can know your thoughts and your purpose and your truth. Thank you that we can gather together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can turn our hearts and our attention towards you. So, Father, we pray for the next few moments that the Word of God would have free course. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for Pastor Parsons and all those that serve here. We thank you for my parents, Lord, and the opportunity to honor them in a special way, even today and tonight. So thank you for this time bringing us together. May we come together for the better. So, Father, we thank you, and we come to you now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, in deference or in honor to my dad, I'd like to tell one of his jokes that he's told quite a few times. I don't quite have his knack for story or joke telling, but then again, I use more notes than he does, so I can get it word for word. But heard about the wife that had a bad day. The poor housewife, you know, that's quite the executive position at home, you understand? All the duties, all the chores, all the decisions that have to be made, all the skills that are required. She's having a bad day. Baby got sick. Sink got stopped up. Washing machine overflowed. Then her husband knocked on the front door. Normally he comes in through the garage. Came home from work, came to the front door. She opens the door after he rang the doorbell and knocked on the front door. She opens the door, and there he is standing there with a big stupid grin on his face. He had flowers in his hand and saying, "Hi, honey, I'm home." And she just started crying. You don't know if those are good tears or bad tears. You never know about those tears. She says, "All that happened today with the baby and this plumbing and the washing machine, everything that I've had to do with, and now you come home drunk." sometimes life can be very unstable. I told it kind of like my dad, didn't I? I mean, come on, you've only heard that 40-11 times, right? Sometimes the life and the world, I mean, it's just like this right here. You know, if you get old enough, you start getting sick to your stomach when you ride those roller coasters. Yeah, I remember wanting to get back in line after riding a roller coaster when I was younger. Now I'm like, okay, I rode it in the 2020s. I'm good, okay? Come talk to me at 2030 or something. But it's just different how you can stomach things after a certain level. And so life is that way. Things are unstable. We could spend all Sunday morning complaining about the instability that's out there in the world. My dad's done that a few times throughout Sunday mornings in the past. But let me just say that when we come to Romans 16, verse number 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you." Aren't those good words? Aren't you glad to hear some good words from time to time? I'm telling you. All right. This book's got good words for you. And can I just go ahead and cut to the chase? Spoiler alert. This book has to do with how he establishes you. Once you're, well, just to get saved, that's being established, amen? The righteousness of God is established through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, all right, I was glad somebody said amen right there, because that's important. But after you get saved, you can get in this book and you can get a strong foundation. You can get built up on that foundation that God laid for us. What a blessing that is, to be established. He has the power to establish you in unstable times. I've got the power. I've got the power. It's not mine. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's his godliness that is his power to establish his purpose in you and your life down here, no matter the roller coaster that's going up and down all around you. So this is what I'd like to talk about for a few moments together this morning. The word establish is closely related to the word stable. Stable. Now, my dad just turned 87 years old on Thursday. And, what, in a few weeks here, a couple weeks, my parents will celebrate, mark the occasion of their 65th wedding anniversary. What do you think about when you hear about that, 65 years of wedding anniversary? Yeah, that's quite a few. Yeah, I always think I could be almost 65 years old. I kind of think about it that way, but I didn't come along for, well, 16 years, so I'm still pretty old. But anyway, not 65, though. Nothing against you if you are. Well, I take that back. Okay. But my dad was called to pastor this local church. And the call actually came late in 1969. And if you think about that for a second, there's been 11 U.S. presidents since 1969. Some of you had a vote in all those elections. The Miami Dolphins have had 14 head coaches during that same time. And that's even considering they had one there for a long time that has the most wins in NFL history, but still, it's been so bad they got 14 since then. But anyway, a gallon of gasoline, by the way, high-octane gasoline, not this stuff that we're getting now with ethanol in it, but a gallon of gasoline cost 34 cents when they called my dad to come here to Haines City. Yeah, 34 cents. It seems like we could handle that 34 cent situation there. I don't even know how much diesel. They're probably giving diesel away back then. So to say the least, I'm very thankful. Even though this world grows more unstable each and every day, I'm thankful for the stability that's been brought to this local church and to this community by the ministry of my parents and so many others. I'm thankful for that. That's something to stop and be objective and be thankful about, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Through all the ups and downs of this world system, you know, by the way, people that are in the position to do so, the position of power in this world system, they make a killing. They profit when things go up and down. That's called volatility. And in the financial markets, they love a volatile market because they make money when the stock's going up and they make money when the stock's going back down, right? They ride it on the way up and they short it on the way down. You know, the same people in power, whether they're out front, whether the ones you're voting for, whether they're behind closed doors, they're making profit over the instability in this world today, all the volatility. They're grabbing power and they're profiting over it. I just want you to know that. We can get mad at the people that are in front of us, but there's some other people to get mad at too if you're going to wrestle with flesh and blood. Or you could go to the book and understand we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but it's the spiritual wickedness in high places that's calling the shots down here. But I'm thankful for the stable stability that God has given this church, this ministry. What a blessing that is. And so that stable foundation being referred to here in Romans chapter 16, verse number 25, is something that we should take notice of today. Verse 25, now to him that is of the power, or is of power, to establish you according to my gospel. That stable foundation for today is referenced by the Apostle Paul. He's referencing what God has given us in his word. He's also referencing God's purpose as set forth in the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 26, let me remind you again, look at it. But now is made manifest, talking about verse 25. But then it says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Do you see that Paul's not only talking about what he's been preaching, but he's also referencing what God has established in Old Testament times? Because he's got a people in Old Testament times, is he not? That he's going to accomplish his earthly purpose with? Amen. So that's being referenced here by what we're reading here in Scripture. And so with that in mind, I'd like to reference 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 30. And I'll do that quickly as I can. I'll read the verse to you, then we'll come back to it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 30. It says, fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. The world today is all about moving everybody. They're going to move you in your emotions. They're going to move you in your thoughts. They're going to move you in your behavior or your reaction to what they're doing. The Bible is speaking of God's purpose as set forth from the foundation of the world, as referenced by the scriptures of the prophets, as spoken of here by David as he gives a psalm, even though we're not in the book of Psalms. He gives a song in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 7, reading through verse 36. I'm just going to grab verse number 30. He says, fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be what? Stable. Stable. That it be not moved. Isn't that a blessing right there, what God's word says? His plans, his purpose for the earth, he's going to make it stable. He's going to keep it from moving like it's moving right now, and it's been moving our whole existence and really going to move in the days ahead. This is a psalm or a song that David wrote. Now, he wrote this at a time in Israel's history. It was in connection with a time where God had given rest from all the enemies of Israel. And believe it or not, the boundaries of the land given to Abraham back in the book of Genesis were now reclaimed at this time. And those nations that were enemies of Israel had become the servants of Israel. Yeah, David was a king of war, and he accomplished God's purpose. That's why there's such a thing as the Davidic covenant. That's why there's going to be of the seed of David someone on the throne for everlasting and everlasting on this earth. But we'll talk about that some other time. This is a time where rest from all the enemies of Israel has been established. This is a time when David brought the Ark of God into the city that God had chosen for himself, Jerusalem. And that pictures God residing. You know the Ark of God pictures the presence of God. The glory of God dwells between the cherubims, right? So this is picturing the future when God would come down and reside. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us, tabernacling with us, the Feast of Tabernacles. All these things pointed to that. This is God's purpose that will be carried out in a future time, but this purpose was made known. It was given to God's earthly people. They were established. They knew what God
was establishing and would establish in the future. That's very, very important if you're going to be stable with instability all around you. Look at the world, be unstable. Look at God, and you can be stable. So David's reminding them, he's reminding Israel of the covenant God made with them. And I'm not reading you the whole psalm or song this morning, even though it's really not all that lengthy. He reminds them of the covenant when he separated Abram from the rest of the world and made his covenant with him and with Israel's fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this covenant between God and his earthly people, it is absolutely central to what God is doing to take possession back of what he created. The very reason he created it. See, right now, this world is under a usurped dominion. Right? Because, I mean, we can complain about the world, and there's a lot to complain about, but let's just cut to the chase. You know the reason it's so bad? Do you know the reason it's so unstable? Do you know the reason it's so unrighteous and ungodly and wicked? Because of the one that's setting the course for it right now. See, this world is under the usurped dominion of Satan. The course of this world, according to Ephesians chapter 2, it's according, right now, the course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan has set the course for this world. He wants to culminate it with his man on the throne in Jerusalem. He wants his man on the throne in Jerusalem worshiping the dragon as God. Have you ever read? Yeah, you've read that before. That's what Satan is doing. His whole desire is to take possession of this earth through his own established kingdom. But that sounds like a bunch of instability to me, to have the devil fulfilling his desire on this planet. So that's why it's good to pick up this book right here, because we can put in this great word called B-U-T. Disjunctive conjunction. That's what the devil's trying to do, but guess what? God's got something in mind as well. God has a purpose. There's going to be a day in the future where two kings and two kingdoms come to a head. And when that man of sin shows up, what does 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8 say is going to happen to that wicked one? The Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. There's going to be a battle for the possession of this earth, but I know who's going to win that battle. I know who's going to take possession according to his purpose, according to the word of God. Yes, the devil has purpose to do some things. Yes, the devil has set a course for this world. And yes, he is pulling the strings right now. But yes, there is a day a coming where the righteous king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that will have the title deed to the earth, the only one that's worthy to open the book, he's going to come down and he's going to execute his purpose according to the word of God. That's good news right there. And guess what that does for you if you know Jesus Christ today? That brings stability to you. You can be a stable individual in an unstable world. But can I just tell you that this book tells us everything we need to know? If we know what God has given us to know, then we will not be unstable, even if the world around us is unstable. But if we're ignorant of what this book has given us to know, then there's even the opportunity to be unknowingly or unwillingly participating in the instability of this world. Hence, how many thousands of denominations are there that are meeting together today? You know where that came from? Ignorance of this book right here, which brought instability in understanding, and everybody thinks, hey, let's get another religion. More religions, the better. And the devil is a religious devil. So the next part of the psalm that I'm not really reading all of this morning, that David gives in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, or 16 rather. It starts in verse 7. In the next part of this song, David then looks forward into the future when all that they were experiencing at this time in Israel's history rests from their enemies, the land boundaries being reestablished. He wrote this talking about the future time when the kingdom would be established down here. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God established down here on earth. Do you realize it'll never be stable down here until Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom here? That's the only thing that's going to do it. How many presidents did we say? How many administrations have there been since late 1969? You know, 11 more won't help that stability. You understand that? I know we're just wanting one more right now, but 11 more won't help that stability. But the Lord Jesus Christ will. The beginning of stability for the individual today. If you're listening to me today and you're saying my life's been up and down and all around, it's been crazy, it's been erratic, it's, you know, just unpredictable, and we can say all the things that we can say and talk about our circumstances. Can I tell you that the beginning of stability for you as an individual today is only possible through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? The finished work that Christ accomplished, he paid for your sins. And that's the beginning of stability for you right there. Stability for all eternity. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse number 31, as an unstable Philippian jailer came up to Paul and Silas and said, "Boy, I'm in trouble. My life just took a turn because of that earthquake and all the gates being open and all the prisoners able to flee and go away. I'm worried and fearing for my life." And when he finds out the prisoners are still there, even though they're not bound anymore, but they stayed anyway, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave him the answer, amen? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you're here today and you're saying it's unstable, everywhere I look, up and down and all around, I'm seasick from the journey, can I tell you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ? Look to the cross of Calvary. Look to the finished work accomplished on your behalf. You could not save yourself. You could not earn it. You could not make up for your wrongdoings. But Jesus Christ came and he paid the cost. Amen? Amen. He is the Savior. And we are to point all men to him. But now that we're done with the introduction, in Romans chapter 16, there's three things that establish us. And I don't mean to scare you because, you know, introductions can be longer than the message sometimes. So we're just hoping that today's one of those days. The Bible says in Romans 16:25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you." What's the first thing it says? Number one, according to my gospel. Now, why would Paul say that? Why? I mean, that sounds a little bit like he might have an ego problem. My gospel. He's kind of like having, speaking of ownership there. No, I believe that, let's just say with as few words as I can muster at this moment, let's just say that he is making sure you understand there's a difference between the nation of Israel and the church, which is his body. Okay? Yeah, they're all God's people, and it's all going to be the fellowship of the mystery in the future, yet God had an Old Testament earthly people, and God's got a body, the church, which is his body today. And according to the word of God, that's what's in view here. He's distinguishing between what God has done, is doing, will do, as he culminates things in the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And that's defined in 1 Corinthians 15 as not believing all the gospel, leaving out the resurrection. Subtracting and taking away from the finished work of Christ would be believing in vain. Unfortunately, religion adds to and takes away from what Christ did for you. Amen. And religion is the guilty party. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished your salvation. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, that's different. Christ, according to prophecy, He was prophesied to be born. He was prophesied to live, die, be buried, and rise again, and even ascend up. But He's talking about the emphasis that God's giving on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's different than what was brought to light in Israel, but it is absolutely what you should raise your antenna up about today. What Christ accomplished for you, the gospel of the grace of God. My dad has preached the gospel of the grace of God here for years and years and years and years out of a King James Bible. I want you to know that brought stability. That was a foundation that's continuing to be built upon as we don't say, hey, be the best you can be and live your best life now in this unstable world. No, we're looking to another as Savior. The one that accomplished our salvation. What a blessing that is. So the first thing that establishes you is to understand the gospel, the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the second thing says here in verse 25, according to the revelation of the mystery. This is the emphasis, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but we continue to read in verse 26, but now is made manifest. Isn't that a blessing? God kept the secret. He did. He hid truth in Himself that the devil and the fallen angels, the principalities, did not know. That mankind did not know. But then at the right time, according to the fullness of time, God revealed those things. And it's made manifest. But you know that the devil's humiliated by that. He tries to keep it a secret and a mystery still today. That's where we come in. We have the power of God to be established. And even though the devil might be hush-hush about the triumph and all that means for the Lord Jesus Christ, that not just is He going to establish His kingdom upon this earth, but He's also reconciling the heavens back to Himself as well. And He not only has an earthly people down here, but He has a heavenly people up there, and it's all brought together in the future. That's good stuff right there. And you know where you find all that? It's in your Bible. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand. That's where you find this truth. What a blessing it is to unpack and search out those unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, to be established today, you need to understand what the gospel is to you and for you. According to the revelation of the mystery, but also I'll continue on, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Now I like this. Verse 26, let's look at it again. But now is made manifest. No more mystery. Now it's proclaimed, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom, you know what that is, and prudence. You don't really know what that is. If you have this information now, you can make good decisions that will turn out and prove out to be good decisions in the future. Don't they name, isn't there a life insurance company named Prudential? Okay. Take out this policy now and you'll be appreciative in the future if you get the cash value of it one day. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, as Ephesians 1:9, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now here's where I want to go, and we're getting close to the end now, so you have to perk back up. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was buried, He rose again the third day. He spent time, 40 days, concerning the kingdom, teaching the apostles. Then He ascended up far above all principality and powers. He made a show of them openly. He spoiled them. He went through enemy territory where the principalities and powers are at, and he went above them and gained the highest seat that there was to gain. He earned it. Religion can't help you earn your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ earned your salvation, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And from that seat, he can now, with all things under his feet, he can reconcile all things together. All things in heaven, all things in earth, and he can bring them together, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. That's eternity in a nutshell right there. And that'll make you stable if you start to let that sink in a little bit. I don't know, go home and watch the news and read the ticker if you want today and see how stable you are when you come back tonight. Or read this ticker right here, buddy. Read these words right here. They're in black and white. You can even read the red letters if you want to. It's all good stuff, and it'll bring stability to you according to the commandment of the everlasting God. If you're not saved this morning, you need to become eternally stable by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are saved this morning, you need to be stabilized by the truth of God's Word. Salvation's not the end, it's just the beginning. Yes, it is. It's the beginning. Christ is being formed in you. I hope you understand that. Put off the old man, put on the new. The old man likes this, the new man likes this. If you're saved, you need to embrace some stability. That means you need to embrace the Word of God. I remember I was making a visit. Now in my mind, I think of things not B.C. and A.D., but before coronavirus and after coronavirus. And so it was before coronavirus. I was visiting someone at the hospital they take you to in our area if you have heart problems. And this one gentleman that I visited many, 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 many times because he has many, many, many heart problems. I was going down to see him and standing outside of the ER in Charleston, West Virginia. I remember talking to his wife and asking about his health and asking, you know, what are they doing to help him? Is he going to be okay? You know, was this something more serious than last time or what? You know, I'm just trying to get the information and pray with her and try to help her and see if I can get to see him or not and all those things. And I remember talking with her outside the emergency room and she's talking and she's been through this so many times and she knows the lingo and she can communicate with the medical professionals. And she stopped and she told me, she says, "Well, Pastor, the key word here is stable. They said they cannot transport anyone until they are stable. But if they're stable, then they can take them somewhere else to have that procedure done or that particular need met. But first they have to be stable." And so as I thought about that, and I mean, I think we're aware of situations like that, but as I thought about the way she worded it and the way she said it to me, I remember thinking that was great advice for all mankind. Your eternal soul should be stable before you ever leave this world. No reason to leave out of here today with instability. No reason to treat this opportunity like, well, another one will come. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day to accept Him. He accomplished your salvation, your forgiveness of sins, your reconciliation for all eternity, accomplished by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? We'll turn things over to Pastor Parsons. I'll just ask you a question and then have a prayer and turn things over to Pastor Parsons. The point and the purpose today is to draw your attention back to the Scripture. As we honor a ministry that's brought stability to a church and community, we can look at the ultimate stability that Jesus Christ has brought to each and every one of us through His work on the cross. Could you tell me today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many have received of that stability? Would you be able to raise your hand and say, yes, there was a time in my life where I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the Philippian jailer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put them down. Is there anyone here today that I could pray for that could raise their hand right now and say, please pray for me. I'm not stable. I'm not sure. I have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Anybody like that today? I'll pray for you right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's your decision. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you. I'll even pray for you, but it's your decision. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the stability that you give us, not only in this life, but also in the life that is to come. Thank you for what you accomplished for us. Unworthy as we are, sinners, undeserving, you gave us not only your sinless life, your righteousness, but your work, your death on the cross, your shed blood, so that our sins could be covered, that an atonement could be made, and we could be in you. So thank you. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you for the preaching of the cross. Thank you for the words that we read on the page that establish us in such unstable times. Father, we ask for your blessing to go forward in this invitation time as we conclude our service. We trust you with it, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we have everybody stand?
Would you stand together? As Brother Bert sings, if God spoke to your heart this morning, step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never become stable, you're not ready for heaven, not ready to be transported, would you come this morning? Would you step out and come? This is an old-fashioned invitation. You may never have been a part of something like this before, but what we're doing is inviting you to come down and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're stable and ready for heaven. As Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out and come while heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I call. As I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I call. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I call.
Some have come and they're being dealt with this morning, and maybe you're here this morning and you've been attending our church for a long time and God has been tugging on your heart to join. Amen. And you need to get baptized. Maybe you've been holding back and you're not ready. But why don't you step out and come this morning? You say, I know the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. You know, part of that being stable is taking that first step of obedience to the Lord's command and just getting baptized and joining the local church. That body that was preached about this morning, becoming a part of the body of Christ, is that first step of obedience. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, and Brother Bert sings, as people already have come, why don't you step out and come and join the local church through baptism this morning as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Someone's come to get saved this morning, and I hope you're praying right where you are. But let me ask you this, and what was mentioned this morning about the greatness of having a place that's been stable all these years. I hope this morning, more than anything as a believer, if you know you're on your way to heaven this morning, and if you're a member of the Landmark Baptist Church, boy, you should be thankful this morning for the blessing of having a place that's stable because of the Lord Jesus Christ sending a man that would just serve him. Amen. And I don't know, maybe as Brother Bert sings the next verse, you might want to bow your head right where you are and thank God for his goodness in the past and beg God to have stability in the future. Brother Bert, would you sing another as we wait for him?
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. I hope you'll come back and see us tonight. We have something to share with you.